1 Samuel chapter number 30 in the good word of God tonight, a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us, no doubt, some things that we probably already know, but some things I think are worth getting excited about again. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, the Bible says in verse 1 and following, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I love preaching. I love preparing for messages. I love getting in the Bible and preparing and getting a message ready to preach, whether it be here or somewhere else. I love the preparation of preaching. I also love listening to preaching. We have a great preacher here. Our pastor's a wonderful preacher. We heard some good preaching on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I love preaching, and I hope you love preaching too. And when I was just a teenager here at Beacon Baptist Church, I knew that the Lord was calling me to preach. As a matter of fact, I went up to some of the men in the church and I asked them, "How do you know that that God is calling you to preach?" And somebody said to me, "Well, you know God has called you to preach when you start asking questions like, how do you know you're called to preach?" And so I began to think about it, and I remember one watch night service, pastor asked me to preach during one of the watch night services. I was preaching with Charlie Hatcher and Rick Hatcher and Rick Blaylock, and I had such a great time, and then it was my turn to come up, and I still have the tape to this day, actually, and I've asked my wife, who actually has the tape, can we burn it with fire, because it is terrible. It is awful. And I want you to know, as bad as it was then, I'm still learning. And so I appreciate the patience that you give me as I'm learning to preach and gaining more experience. But long story short, I love to preach and I love preaching. When I first started out and people would ask me to preach at the nursing home, I would take my Bible, and my parents weren't saved at the time, but I'd take my Bible by myself. I'd go into the laundry room and I'd stick the Bible up right there on the edge of the washer, like pastor does here on the pulpit. He puts his Bible there and I put it on the washer, and I'd get in there and I, by myself, I would start preaching to the washer and the fabric softener and the dirty clothes that was there. And you guessed it, I had my own invitation. Oh, with heads bowed, eyes closed, who wants to be the first one to come down to the altar? Just a teenager. My parents in the other room. You show that fabric softener who is boss back there. Preaching. I've been afforded the opportunity to be able to preach a lot of different places. When I was in Bible college, I got to go and preach in many different churches across the country. I'm grateful for it. I've gotten to preach in nursing homes. As a matter of fact, when I preached at Jupiter Care Center several years ago, it was one of the first times I got to preach there. These two ladies were sitting close to each other, and the one lady kept poking the other lady, poke, 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 and the other lady, "Stop, stop poking me." Finally, she took the hymn book and reached over, and she slapped the lady next to her right in the middle of my message. And I didn't know exactly what to do. I was like, "All right, let's look over here. Come on, let me get your attention." They had to wheel the lady out, and she was swinging the hymn book like a baseball bat at that other lady. Preaching. I love it. But some of the greatest messages that you and I might hear come when it's just you and I. Verse number 6, I want you to look at it, please, if you would. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Some of the greatest messages and preaching that you and I need come from ourselves, preaching the Bible to ourselves. You don't have to be called to preach to yourself. David the king, he preached to himself. We find ingredients to preaching here. You expound on the Bible. All good Bible preaching has Bible. You're expounding on the Word of God. We don't need to preach opinions, and we don't need to preach things that we don't need to have a kind word from Oprah Winbag. We don't have to hear what Jimmy Kimmel has to say. We don't need to scroll down Facebook and see what they have to say. But when we hear preaching and when we get to preaching and listening to preaching, it ought to come from the Bible. The Bible is expounded. The believer is exhorted. David is preaching to himself. What I'm saying tonight is when you get discouraged like David was, in this world in which we live in, where there's a lot of trouble, in this world that seems to be going crazy, perhaps you can't always be at the church. Perhaps you can't always listen to the preaching here. But you have the opportunity, if you know the Word of God, to preach to yourself. We ought to learn to preach to ourselves. I'm not talking about positive thinking. Oh, if I just think it, it's going to be good in the hood and fine and dandy like cotton candy. If I just have this positive attitude, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about psyching yourself up and shaking yourself up to get motivated. I am talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord your God through His Word. We all ought to learn how to preach to ourselves. So there's several things I want us to grasp tonight as we look at David as he preached to himself. And we're going to get into it. Let's pray first and we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the mercy in which you've shown us by Jesus on the cross. We pray, Lord, as we enter into preaching, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you promised your word would not return void. And I pray that you do a work tonight. Help us, Lord. If there's anybody here tonight that's discouraged, I pray that they'd be encouraged. Lord, I pray that your word would help these people tonight. Again, we pray for Pastor and his family and Brother Andy, that you continue to work in them. And Lord, we pray for our country that desperately needs revival. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preach to yourself. Number one, I want you to consider this, David's motive for preaching to himself. If you would, please, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." When do you preach to yourself? What was David's motive for preaching to himself, for encouraging himself in the Lord? Well, we find his motive was, first of all, when he made poor decisions. We find all the way back in 1 Samuel chapter number 21 and verse number 10, we find that the Bible says this, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, for the king of Gath." We find in chapter number 28 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with to battle, thou and thy men." So here's what's taking place. David had made some poor decisions. When do you preach to yourself? When you and I, when we make poor decisions. David had made some poor decisions. He was supposed to be the king. He was anointed king. But the Bible clearly says in chapter 22 that we just read that David was afraid of Saul. But yet we know that David's God would protect him. We know that David's God would provide for him. So there was really no reason for David to go to Ziklag if he would have just trusted God. He made a poor decision. How many of you are in that boat? You've ever made a poor decision in your life? Yes, right here. Amen. That is a time for us that we could preach to ourselves, that we could go through the Word of God and encourage ourselves in the Lord when we made sinful decisions. Keep in mind, in the life of David at this point, for 18 months, he's not been seeking the Lord. For 18 months, he's not been inquiring of the Lord. He's away from the Lord. But something happens in his life when he gets to Ziklag after he's made a series of poor decisions. He realizes that he needs the Lord in his life. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, God knows exactly what circumstance to bring into our lives so we'll seek him again. God knows how to get your attention and mine. He made poor decisions. But think about this. Not only did he make poor decisions, there was problems and distress. Look, please, at our text, verse number 3. The Bible says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. We preach to ourselves, encourage ourselves in the Lord when we make poor decisions, when there's problems and distress. These men and David, They were literally weeping and crying until the Bible says they had no more power to weep. They couldn't cry anymore. Their tear ducts were dried out. They were going through some difficulties. They were going through some problems. Have you ever been to that point where you've cried so much you can't cry anymore? Several years ago, just about 4 years ago now, I watched my mom and my dad go through problems and distress. I'll never forget it. June 1st, 2017, I got a call early in the morning. It was a Thursday morning. It was my dad on the other end of the line saying something about my oldest brother. I couldn't hear him and understand him at first. He was so distressed. He couldn't even get the words out. Finally, he was able to choke the words out, and he said, "Your brother, he didn't make it." And I asked what was going on. I watched my dad and I watched my mom deal with these problems and dealing with the death of my brother. They were at the point where they could weep. They wept so much that they couldn't weep anymore. What do you do when you find yourself at that place? What do you do when you're distressed? What do you do when you're discouraged? What do you do when you're depressed? What do you do when you're downtrodden? What do you do when there's no other place to turn? You preach to yourself. You encourage yourself in the Lord. David made poor decisions. David found himself with problems and distress. These men and David, they lost their families. They'd been taken away captives. Of course they were distressed. Of course they had problems. But David learned to encourage himself in the Lord. We find poor decisions. We find problems and distress. But then we find people that discourage. Look again, please, at verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." I don't blame the people here for being upset with David. I don't blame them one bit. The families have been taken. David was the leader, and so they were blaming David. But the people got a little bit crazy right here. They spake of picking up stones and throwing them at David and ending his life. You ever been to a place where you've been discouraged because of things that other people had to say? Sometimes you talk to people and everything seems to be going wrong in their life. You're almost afraid to ask them, "How's your day going?" You ever find somebody like that? "Hey, how's your day going?" And they tell you, "Here's how my day is going," and they unload everything. Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, people that you get around, they can be discouraging. It happens. People say things, people do things that discourage us, that distress us. And here, David is sitting there. He'd made poor decisions. He's going through some problems. His family is gone, and now the people are speaking of stoning him. David had nowhere to turn. No wonder he turned to God. No wonder this was his motive for preaching to himself, for encouraging himself in the Lord. David's motive: poor decisions, problems and distress, people that discourage. But there's a second thing tonight, not only David's motive, David's message. What did David preach to himself? Well, I want you to consider a couple things. We find out, number one, that God is present. Look again at verse number 6. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I don't know much about what David may have actually preached to himself. The Bible doesn't give a long message here, but it does give us some things, and it gives us the fact that God is real. There is a God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. That denotes that, yes, there in fact is a God. And I don't know what you might be going through tonight and what our world is going through tonight, but rest assured that no matter what everybody else has to say, and no matter what everybody else has to write on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, there is a God. And David realized and remembered again that no matter what was going on, he may not be able to see God's hand, but he can trust God's heart. And here's what I'm saying tonight. Don't ever get over it. The fact that there is a God. In other words, there's a God in heaven that's not squeezing a stress ball wondering what's going to happen next. There's a God in heaven who's in control. He knows the next step. He knows what's going according to his plan. There is a God. Not only is God present, but God is personal to David. Look, please, at verse number 6 again, the latter part. The Bible says, "But David encouraged himself," watch this now, "in the Lord his God." I'm so glad when I go through trouble and I go through difficulty that I have a God that I can run to because he is my Savior. We grew up Catholic. My family did. We went to a church here in Jupiter when I was just a little kid. Right, but you know, the Blayhawks were kicking me off their doorstep. No, I'm just kidding. When I was just a little kid, we went to the Catholic church, and I remember having to go to confession. Boy, that was a long time, sitting with the priest, talking to him about, I did this, and my brother did that, so I did that. But you know something? I don't have to go through a priest to talk to God. I don't. And you know something? As a believer, as a person who knows Christ yourself, you have as much access to God as somebody who might be called pastor. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth that I hope that we get hold of, that I hope we grasp, is that each and every one of you, if you know Christ as your Savior, you can access Him. You have as much access to God as anybody who believes, anybody who's saved. You can talk to God if He's your Savior, anytime, any place. He's never going to shoo you away and say, get out of here. He's never going to kick you out for being there too long. He is your Savior if you're born again, if you know Him. You have a God and He's your God. I am His and He is mine. That's a wonderful truth tonight. You have access. David's message, there is a God. He's my God. God already has the answers. We find David and he's preaching to himself. I wonder, David is preaching to himself. You think about this. Here is David, the one that's discouraged. Oh, I'm so discouraged. I'm downtrodden. I'm just having a hard time. And then David preaching to himself, encouraging himself in the Lord. Here's David the discouraged. Here's David the preacher. David, look up. Preaching to himself, encouraging himself in the Lord. Aren't you the one that wrote the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Discouraged, David. Yeah, I wrote that. Yeah, I guess I kind of said that. David, aren't you the one that said, yea, though I walk through the valley. David, is he in a valley right now? Yes, he is in our text. He's in a valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know thou art with me. David. Yeah. Did you write that? Yeah, I guess I wrote that too. And as David is sitting there, he's realizing and remembering all that God had done in his life. David, do you remember the time that you were in the field and some bear and some lion, they came after your sheep? You remember when I took care of you when that happened? David, do you remember that? Yeah, I guess I remember how you took care of me. And listen, God has brought you this far and He can take care of you today. He didn't bring you this far to forsake you now. We have to get back to remembering all that God has done in our lives. Sometimes we get the syndrome like the disciples had. They just fed 5,000 with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God was doing miracles. He was feeding the 1,000 with just a little bit of food. And they get on the boat and they forgot the food and they forgot what God had done in their life already. Sometimes we forget how God provided in the past. And the present situation we feel, oh man, this is tough. I don't know if God could take care of me in this. Rest assured that God can take care of you. Don't forget to remember all that God has done in your life. No doubt, as David is sitting on the rock here, discouraged, he starts to remember how God took care of him. You remember, David, when you're in the valley of Elam and there was that big giant, what's his name? Goliath, that 9-foot, almost 10-foot giant, and he was talking trash and running his mouth. You remember how I took care of you back then? And David starts to remember all the things that God is doing in his life and has done in his life. David's message, there is a God, He's my God, and He already has the answer. Thirdly, tonight, we talked about David's motive. David's message, thirdly, David's motion. You know what? All good preaching has application. What do you do with what you heard? That's one of the goals as a preacher. When we hear, or when we give a message, when we preach, we want you to take the information, the things that you hear, the preaching that you hear, and we want you to make a difference, do something different in your own life. There's application when it comes to preaching. And so what is David's next step? What is David going to do now that he's encouraged himself in the Lord, now that he's preached himself? Well, we find that after 18 months of David not seeking God, after him not going after God, after not praying, not inquiring of the Lord, we find that after after David encouraged himself, now he is seeking the Lord again. He sought God. Look, please, at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.'" We find that, first of all, David sought God again. He no longer stood back and tried to figure it out himself. He no longer did it his own way. He started turning from his ways and looking for God's ways. And that's a wonderful thing if we encourage ourselves in the Lord and we start seeking God again. He inquired of the Lord. I like this. David not only sought God, but David submitted to God. Look again at verse number 8. "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.'" Verse number 9. "So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and 400 men for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor." So here's what we're talking about. David decided to submit to the Lord. I love the attitude that David has here. But whether or not, of course, you think about the question that David is asking, the situation that he's going through. "God, my family, my wives and my children, they've been taken. The wives and the children of all the men that are with me, they have been taken too. Should I go after them?" Now, in a rational mind, of course, yes, we should go and get our family back. Yes, you should go and get your wives back. Yes, you should go and get your children back. Yes, you should do all those things. But you know what David started to do? He started waiting on God. He was waiting for God's answer. And he was going to submit to no matter what answer God gave to him. That's a good attitude to have when seeking the Lord. He sought the Lord. He submitted to the Lord. And then David set out again, verse 9. "So David went." You know what? When we encourage ourselves in the Lord, it's not just about getting a warm and fuzzy feeling. "Ooh, this feels good. I really like it. Good giggly wiggly." No, it's about seeking the Lord. It's about submitting to the Lord and then setting out to do something with the Lord and for the Lord. David put action to the preaching that he was preaching to himself. He realized that God was with him. "I'm so grateful that no matter what distress you and I might be going through, whither shall I flee from thy spirit, or whither shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me." Here's what I'm saying. David might have been distressed, but he started seeking God and encouraging himself in the Lord. And he set out to do something great for God. God was with him as he set out for his family. I love it. My dad's with the Lord now. But I remember as a kid, my oldest brother Paul I'd be sitting on the couch watching TV, probably eating a bowl of cereal, Frosted Flakes. I'd be sitting there watching TV, and here comes Paul around the corner. And how many of you are the oldest sibling? I'm still bitter, okay? Shame on you. I feel like the oldest sibling, they're all the same. Got to pick on the... How many of you are the younger sibling? I feel your pain. We're in this together, all right? It's going to be okay. Paul would come around the corner, and he'd look at me, and I'd look at him, and I knew I was going to get a whooping, so I'd have to put my cereal down before I spilled it all over the place. He would jump on that couch. He would pin me down, a knee on either arm. I couldn't do anything, you know? And he began to pound me on the chest. And as a younger sibling would do, I would scream, "Ah!" And I would scream out. And you know, if you have a child, and I've worked with children long enough, you hear somebody screaming, a kid screaming, you're like, either they're getting picked on or they broke an arm or something like that. But you hear the child screaming. Do you run and see what happened? Maybe not. But I screamed enough that my dad, he heard us in the other room, and my brother pounded me on the chest with his knees on my arm so I couldn't go anywhere, and screaming like a little kid. And you know what? Something amazing happened when I saw my dad. You see how it was? My brother's back was to the hallway, but I could see the hallway, and I saw my dad just standing there, just kind of smirking. And you know, my screaming changed when my dad was around the corner, because I saw him, and everything I knew was going to be okay. Now, my brother didn't see him, and it wasn't going to be okay for him. My dad had this Pratt & Whitney leather belt. Oh, man. You know? But here's the point I'm making. I was distressed. Older brother on me, pounding me, pummeling me. What am I going to do? He's a lot bigger than I am. I can't move. I can't go anywhere. I can't kick. I just want to eat my cereal and watch my TV show. I screamed out, somebody help me. And then my dad came. And I saw him sitting at the corner, just watching me. You know, my whole perspective changed because he was there. Was I still getting pummeled? Yes, but not for very much longer. But everything made it better when my dad was there. You know what? I don't know what your situation is tonight. Our world seems to be going crazy. But everything's all right in my Father's house. God's not worried. You can encourage yourself in the Lord, your God. So get your Bibles. Get in the Word. As we say on the B&B show, get off Facebook. Get your face in the book. How many of you watch the B&B show? All three of you. Very, very good. That's great. But be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Preach to yourself. There may come a time, you know, pastor may not be here. The church doors may not be open. But you know what? If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit just like any other believer, and you can preach to yourself. So get acquainted with your Word, the Word of God here. Get a good grip on the Bible and preach to yourself. You know, in the days that we live in nowadays, it's a good idea to be encouraged that no matter what's going on and everything that seems to be happening in our world, the craziness that might be going on, the riots and all those types of things, it's good to encourage ourselves in this book.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.